Amen. Over these next Sundays through Christmas, we're going to be looking at one verse of Scripture because it is probably the most quoted and the most known verse in all of the Scripture, Old and New Testament. But we're going to look at this and look at three different themes from the Gospel of John chapter 3 and verse 16. Amen. Look with me, if you would, at this verse, and most of you probably can just quote it, and that would be okay. But let's look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. You may be seated. This is a verse, as I said, is probably the most known and the most quoted verse. It's only 25 words. The children know it. They're taught it when they're very, very young. And sometimes the most familiar is what we overlook. We don't really look at the important themes, the important truth that is from a small little verse of Scripture like this. Amen. It has been, this verse has been called the most concise summary of the gospel in the Bible. These few little verses. Martin Luther called it the miniature gospel. Anytime you wanted to give the gospel quick, give them John 3:16 and you'll give them the gist of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's been called the gospel in a nutshell. Just this small, little, small verse of Scripture, but yet really, really powerful. I wanted to use this theme because I have thought of many times about how Christmas has made a difference in the lives of every one of us. And I don't mean just the celebration, but the truth of it, the reality of it, the message of Christmas that never grows old. We continue to rejoice in it. And during the holidays when it just seems like many people, and I don't really get all that distracted by the Santa Claus and all the other things. It doesn't really bother me. If people want to get all involved in that, that's their business. But I just soak in all of the other good things about the Christmas season. Amen. And I see in it all a wonderful opportunity to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ to many people. We're going to talk about love today. For God so loved the world. The love that makes a difference. Now, immediately when you think of that term, you think of love on your own terms. What you think about it. What you believe that it is. What the world thinks that love is. And for the most part, I believe that the world has a total misconception about love. And they certainly don't understand the love of God. And I don't know that any of us can fully comprehend it. It is too large. It's too overwhelming. But all that I know is that we can experience it. We can live in it. We can have the knowledge of it. We can be blessed by it every day of our life. And it's this message of the love of God. It can really make a difference in the lives of people. Most people think of love as something with condition. That's why it's so hard for us. If someone stops loving me, then I'm going to run out of love for them pretty quick. That's natural love. That's human love. But that's not the way it is with God. God's love is so hard for us to comprehend because it's without condition. He loves and keeps on loving. He keeps pouring out. He's the source of it, and it just keeps coming, keeps pouring out. Amen. Even men that hate God and rebel against God, even those that point their finger and curse at God, He still loves them. Men are going to go to hell unsaved, but they're not going to go to hell unloved. I understand that there is the balance of God's love and God's justice. And I understand that, I think most of us understand that God is a God of justice, but it is His love that prevails. It is His love that we need to try to comprehend and understand and realize, and this morning be reminded of a few things about it, because it will make a difference in the lives of people. Amen. It can hide a multitude of sins. The love of God, it can reach so far that it's almost more than we can understand or comprehend. And it starts in this verse by saying, for God so loved. The source is God. This verse, in the very beginning phrase here, it just assumes the existence of God. It assumes that He is. It assumes that we understand that God is a God who exists, even though we cannot necessarily see Him. But yet we understand that He's real by faith. The scripture in Hebrews reaffirms this. Hebrews 11, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. You have to believe that God exists before you can ever be saved. You have to be a believer in the fact that God exists before you can know Him in a personal way. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And there are those intellectuals and those who feel like that they are really knowledgeable in our world today make a mockery of Christianity, make a mockery of the Bible, and would make a mockery of this truth that we're talking about here today, because they cannot comprehend it. But even the most wicked atheist, the most vile person in this world can't understand it or comprehend it, but yet the love of God is flowing in their direction too. I can't comprehend that. It's too big for me. It's too great for me to understand. I can't really fully comprehend it, but I believe it because the Bible says it. Amen. So He's the source. He's the source, and everything that flows to our lives, every good thing that flows in our direction, He's the source of it. It all starts with God. All begins with Him. God so loved the world. And this love that He sent our way was not something that was influenced. It wasn't caused by any outside force. This was a sovereign thing that God just spontaneously, by His will, an act of His will, He loves the world. He loves mankind. He loves people, everyone in this world. He loves them. Amen. Glory to God. There's some wonderful verses in the scripture that describe this, that actually define, that love defines who God is. He is love. 1 John chapter 4. And we have known and believed the love of God that hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, in God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. God has chosen to love us. He is in Deuteronomy chapter 7. And verse number 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number. He's talking to the nation of Israel. He didn't choose you because you were more in people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers. The scripture just says that God just set his love on you. It was an act of his sovereign will to love mankind. Can you imagine? All the wicked, evil people. There are some people that you would naturally think are repulsive, and you would turn away from them, but God so loved the world. Amen. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. As I said, we have this misconception, because we think of the love of God like it can be compared to the love that people would have with, you know, human love. And we know that is not true. As a matter of fact, there are three different words in the Greek that describe love. And I know that you've been through this little lesson before about the love of God, but we're just going to talk about these three words again here for a moment. These three Greek words which describe the love of God in three different ways. One is the word philio, And we get our word philanthropy, or an act of brotherly love, kindness toward one another. And that's described as filio love in the New Testament. And then there's eros, which is described as intimate love, sensual love. We get our word erotic from that word eros. And so it's describing an intimate love. And then the third category is agapeo love. And I know I'm not pronouncing these words exactly right, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm trying to distinguish that there is a love that is a love that you can't understand or comprehend, and you can't really even see it in any relationship or any situation in your life. Can you fully comprehend the love of God? The agape love is the expression of a perfect God toward the unworthy mankind. Amen. The expression of God's love from His position of perfection toward the unworthy and the unlovable in all of this world. Do you know of someone like that? Do you know of someone that sometimes you would just think, I wish that they would have trouble. I wish things would happen to them. I wish they would have things come their way. And you just think of all the wicked, vile things that people have done, and how that you run out of energy in trying to care about them. But God never stops loving. He keeps pouring out. He keeps pouring out. As a matter of fact, when people go to hell, it's because they have just trampled on the love and the grace of God. Amen. For God so loved the world. Amen. What an amazing thing. The Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 8. This is one of the most wonderful passages about the love of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what happens. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful hope that we have in the Lord. A preacher by the name of George Matheson, a Scottish preacher, back in the 1800s. He became well known all over Scotland as a preacher of the gospel. Most people didn't know that he was almost completely blind. And even when he was a child in school, he had to sit over by the window so we'd have enough light to see what he was trying to read. And then he had the spectacles that were the thickest that they could provide for him so that he would be able to see it all. As he grew older, his vision got worse to the point that all his vision was just... He could barely see an outline of a person. He couldn't hardly even read as he became a young man and a young preacher of the gospel. So his sister became his companion. His sister read to him and helped him in his studies and his preparation of his messages. And they said that he had the most amazing memory, that once he had studied and prepared, that he would bring his Bible and a notebook to the pulpit, and he would look down frequently at his notes, just because he didn't want people to think that he couldn't see them. But he was preaching from the memory of his study and his preparation. And he was mightily used of the Lord. But when he was 40 years old, his companion, his sister, she met someone and decided to get married. This is really hard for him, because she was the one that led him everywhere that he went, helped him in his studies. And now in this new circumstance of having to be absolutely dependent upon the Lord, on her wedding day, he wrote this song. O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths it flow. May richer, fuller be. He wrote that song in 10 minutes, he said, on the day that his sister companion got married, and he had to have a newfound faith and confidence in the Lord. He carried on many years in his ministry and touched many, many lives down through the years. It is a love that will not let you go. That's the love of God. A lot of people think that if I mess up, if I make a mistake, if I sin against God, that God is just going to give up on me. We're thinking in natural terms. We think how people think, how people do. They give up. But God doesn't give up. He just keeps on reaching. He keeps on loving. He keeps on extending himself toward mankind. It is hard to understand and comprehend, but it is a love that will not let us go. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Another song that we often think about when we're thinking about the love of God was written by Frederick Lehman. He was Jewish. And in the early 1900s, he wrote this song, "O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong." Well, he wrote the two verses to it, but then in his study and research, he found it, and I'd heard this story a lot of times, and I wanted to make sure, is that just a story that people tell? Sometimes preachers tell things, and you think, where did they come up with that? Could that really be true? And so I did a little research on this and found out that hundreds of years before that Frederick Lehman had written this song, "O Love of God," that there was a man who was in an insane asylum. And he wrote on the walls of that insane asylum. And Frederick Lehman, he read about that and he researched that. And when he read that, he included a third stanza to his song that had been written on the walls of this insane asylum. And they didn't find it till after this man was buried. The third stanza to the song was, "Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." Now that man might have been in an insane asylum, but he was not insane. Amen. He knew the love of God. I can't imagine a more wonderful and beautiful picture that he gave of the love of God that could not, yet you can't diminish it. You can't, there's just no way that you could ever drain the ocean of God's love dry. Amen. Glory to God. Adam Clark, the great theologian, he made two important points that he believed it was important for everybody that was in ministry. He said, number one, the world is ruined. The world is ruined. The world is condemned and is going to perish everlastingly. Point number two, he said, God, through the impulse of his eternal love, provided for its rescue. Amen. Now, if you want, that's all the doctrine you really need to know right there. That we were condemned to die and we deserve to die and to be eternally separated from God. That's what mankind deserved. But through the impulse of God's love, he provided a way for men to be saved. And you're saved today not because of your own goodness or your merit. Not because of just even decisions that you have made. You're saved today because God so loved the world. He so loved you. He so loved me. And he loves those that are out there in this community and all over this world that we're preaching the gospel to and sending forth missionaries to. He loves the beggars in Calcutta. Yes, he does. He loves those wealthy Arabs, those oil tycoons. He loves them too. You can think of every kind of person in this world. the stockbroker in New York City, the homeless person. Go name any person, any classification, as evil and awful as they may be. I can't think of anybody more despicable, and I've read very little about him except what I've heard. And there was a little thing I heard on the news this week about Charles Manson. Charles Manson is a demon-possessed man who's been in prison all of his life. Slaughtered and murdered a number of people out in Hollywood back in the 60s. And a horrible, wicked, vile, evil person. And the reason he was in the news this week was because they said somehow he has arranged where he could have a cell phone in his cell. So now he has a cell phone. Charles Manson has a cell phone in his jail cell. He's probably got color TV and a nicer bed than you and I, too. There's no telling what he's got in that situation he's been in most of his life. Wicked, evil, a person who deserves judgment. He deserved to die. He didn't deserve anything good. But somehow, if you can comprehend this, if he would open up his heart to God, the love of God would just come flooding into that jail cell, that prison where he's at. He don't deserve it. He deserves judgment. He deserves to die. But that's how difficult it is for us to comprehend or to understand the love of God. The world. God so loved the world. In this place, I know that the world, there's several words that describe the world in the New Testament. The world as the arrangement or the system of the world is one definition of the world. And then the world that is the material world around us, the trees and the mountains and creation, that would be another definition of the world. But this word here describes the world, mankind, the people who populate this earth, the people who live in this world. That's for God so loved the world, mankind, people. Amen. I don't know if you think about this very much, but I think about it pretty often. Because there are literally millions of people, multiplied millions of people all over the world that have never heard about Jesus. They've never heard the Bible. But I was born into a family to where from the time I was a small little boy, I heard the stories about Jesus. I heard the message of the gospel when I was just a small child. I heard all those wonderful stories in the Old Testament, the New Testament. I heard the message of the gospel. And many of you had the same kind of privilege. You had parents and grandparents who cared enough about you that they loved God and they wanted you to understand the message of the gospel. How privileged that we are, but all the world doesn't have that blessing. But all the world has that love. Same love. Amen. Glory to God. And we have been called to be His hand extended. His love extended to the world. Amen. Everywhere we go and what we do. If you're grouchy and mean to the waitresses and places of business, they're not going to see the love of God in you. If you've got a rotten spirit, a rotten attitude, and then That's just carnal and worldly. You need to pray through about that. Because God so loved the world. He loves them. And you may think they need to be mistreated. They don't deserve love or kindness. But yet, God gives to us His love. And as believers, then we pour out the love of God. Amen. We are to give. We are to love. We are to minister. We are to be His hand extended to all of the world. Amen. He loves the world. Every shape and form, every color, every nation, every ethnic group, every tribe. Anything that you can imagine about this world, the people of this world. He loves them. Loves the sinner, criminal, the rebellious, the liar, the deceiver, the idolater. On and on the list goes of the condition of mankind today. Even those that are making mockery of God right now, God loves them. Amen. That's the message, at least in part, the message of this season. Amen. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. It is a message that needs to be declared to all of mankind that if they'll open their heart, if they'll confess their sins, they can receive this glorious, wonderful message. Now, whenever you pick out a verse like this and you're just looking at a single verse, You really need to look, and I know that I probably don't have time to go into this in great detail, but you really need to look at that verse from several different perspectives. You need to look at it certainly within its context. You need to look at the verse and the rest of the verses that are around it. And you'll notice that in John chapter 3, this is the story of Nicodemus, the ruler of the Pharisees that came to Jesus. And the Bible says he came late at night because he did not want everybody to know that he was talking to Jesus. It was a secret meeting with Jesus Christ. And then immediately the meeting turned serious, a serious discussion about spiritual things and about the spiritual condition of mankind and the spiritual needs that people have. This man Nicodemus, he did not understand. He said, I know that you have to be from God because you do all these miracles. You have to be from God. And he was having difficulty understanding what it meant to know God and to be changed by the power of God. And Jesus was dealing with this man who is steeped in religion and in man's ideas. And no doubt he was proud, and he had a lot of issues in his life. He was a ruler. He was a man of tremendous power and authority and influence. But yet God was speaking to this man. Isn't it wonderful? And the apostle Paul had opportunities to preach the gospel right in kings' palaces. The Lord opened the door for him to preach the gospel in places where you would never think that the love of God could reach, but it did. Jesus was reaching after this religious leader of the Pharisees. And many times God will give you and me opportunities to reach the lowly or maybe even the highly esteemed. And those who have power and influence in their life. Whatever the opportunity, the love of God is the message. That's what they need to hear. They need to understand how wonderful and how great it is that God has extended himself to them in such a way that they could be saved. Amen. Glory to God. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful blessing. During these holidays and many things that are going on, family and other celebrations that are going on, there has to be, for every believer, there has to be this focus in our life. We didn't deserve any good things. We did not deserve to know Jesus, to have the gospel, but thanks be unto God. He loved us. He loved us. When we were unlovely and that we did not deserve it, but yet he loved us anyway. Now this love, this kind of love, can make all the difference in your life. Amen. A lot of people have a lot of difficulty with this because they really believe that if they mess up, that God gives up on them. But we know that's not true. Now God doesn't wink at sin. He doesn't ignore sin. And if you persist in a lifestyle of sin, going away from God, you are going to lose your salvation. I believe that. I do not believe in eternal security, but I do believe in the eternal love of God. Amen. I do believe in the eternal grace of God. I believe that God is always reaching. Always reaching. And it's only rebellion and stubbornness and rejection of God that causes a person to wind up in hell. And they persist in that. And overlook the love of God and just trample on the grace of God, they're going to wind up in that horrible place. But if there's some of you here this morning, maybe you know of people that they have just, they've failed God and now they think that they're not ever going to be able to get back in to right relationship with God. Oh, don't believe that lie. Don't believe that lie. Amen. It's very hard. Zach, our son, he's not here so I can talk about him. Zach is probably the single person that has the most power to irritate me in the entire world. And I have long suffering. I'm a patient person, I think. But he has trampled on it so many times that I have come to the end of my patience. And many times after a day, when I was so frustrated that I could not stand it, at the end of the day, Zach would come to our room and he would say, "Love you, Dad." And I have to tell you, when he would say that, I would say, not to him, but inside of my heart, I would say, you don't love me. If you love me, you would not do all this stuff that irritate the life out of me. You would not trample on all the goodness that we've tried to send your way. Love you, Dad. And if I did not respond, he demanded a response. I love you, Dad. And I'd have to, with everything within me, love you too. And I know that he knew it wasn't very heartfelt sometimes. But I'm not like God. You're not like God. I come to the end of my patience. I come to the end of my ability to express love. When it's not reciprocated or if it's trampled on, we have difficulty giving love back to people who don't deserve it. But that's not the God that we serve. Amen. People every day by the thousands, by the millions, trampling on the love of God, couldn't care less about Him. They want to ignore God. They want God completely erased from our society and culture. They don't want to ever have to even retain God in their knowledge. They don't have to think about Him. So they trample on His love every day. But yet He keeps loving. Can you understand that? I don't understand it. I just believe it because I know it's in the Word of God. Hallelujah. He has set His love upon us. Praise the Lord. His love is a love that doesn't run out. His love is a love that won't let go. His love is the love that cannot be described with our vocabulary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to declare it. We need to preach it. We need to be the example of it everywhere that we go. The love of God can make a difference in the lives of people. Let's stand. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that most everyone here in this service today, Lord, you have loved us with an everlasting love. Oh, Lord, we thank you for that love that is persistent, that is everlasting, that love that will not let go. That love, oh Lord, that is extended to all mankind. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And God, I just pray today that somehow our hearts would be stirred today to even in a small way comprehend the wonderful blessing of knowing you and having fellowship with you. Oh God, we thank you. We thank you. We praise you for your love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We could just take a moment here this morning and just consider how blessed we are to know the Lord. Isn't it hard to imagine the God, the creator of all of the universe, that He wanted to condescend to mankind and take upon Himself the form of flesh? And why did He do it? He did it for love. That's why He did it. He did it for love, for God so loved, so loved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Can we sing that? Of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless. Sing it again. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. It's praise the Lord. Is there anyone here in this service this morning? You're not walking with the Lord. You're not living for the Lord. Let me tell you, He cares about you. He loves you. Hallelujah. And you can know Him. He invites you to know Him personally. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anyone here this morning in this service and you don't know the Lord in a real and a personal way, His love is extended to you today. Anybody, you're in need, I want to invite you to come and join us here around this altar as everybody gathers in. Would you come? Everybody all over this congregation. If you're saved, born again, then you have reason to be rejoicing and praising the Lord for what He has done. Hallelujah. If you don't know the Lord, if you're not born again, you can be this morning. Confessing your sins, repenting of your sins, you can step right into the love of God here in this place today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for touching the lives of people in this place today. Let the Lord help you. Let the Lord minister to you. Let Him touch you today. Would you pray? Let's gather in around this altar. Thank you, Lord, for your love extended to each one of us. Hallelujah.